Hello, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of the Craft of the Draft podcast. A bit of a shorter one, this one. We've got a few things to talk about, but not as much as usual with the season ending, but still some talking points nonetheless. As usual, I'm one of your co-hosts, Nathan Seppi, joined by pretty happy co-host, Jonty Ralph Smith. And I might not be too happy about it, but Jonty's certainly happy about his weekend. So you want to explain why you're pretty happy, Jonty?
Yeah, Collingwood getting the premiership. It was certainly a joyous Saturday that started with lots of anticipation, and then there was lots of emotion throughout the day, a little bit of nerves, not sure that they were going to get the job done, and then, yeah, they were able to hold on. So I think it was the fitting end to a really, really perfect couple of seasons for Collingwood where they were able to close it out in the close one. But the key talking point for us today is what happened a little bit earlier on AFL Grand Final day in the under-17 futures game. So I'll ask you, Nathan, about some of the players that you really liked in this one, because there was a lot of talent on show, and it's the time of year where we always speak about the following year's draft being really strong and there's a lot of high hopes. But certainly for this one, without wanting to put the moz on it, there does appear to be much more talent in the 2024 class than in many of the recent years. So looking forward to seeing how that does materialise over the next 12 to 15 months. But this was the first real opportunity that some of the wider AFL and Aussie rules spectators would have got to see them. And I know the Campirelli boys performed really well, according to some people, and certainly got the statistics that they were looking for, got plenty of the ball running through the midfield, but they're obviously not talent league prospects. So if we focus on the talent league prospects in particular, maybe if we want to start with Xavier Lindsay, he's one I've really enjoyed watching this season. And I know he's one who attracted plenty of attention on the day, and it's a perfect end to a really, really good season for the Gippsland Power product.
Yeah, it was. It was a really good end. And I've got a few players I want to bring up, you know, that were, I thought, had really under the radar performances in terms of, not that they were unexpected, but you probably didn't take a lot of notice of them on the actual day. But Xavier Lindsay was fantastic, I thought, in terms of impact per possession. And I think that's probably the most valuable thing on the field. You can get a lot of the footy, but you can use it pretty poorly, which is what I sort of thought of Ben Camporelli, like you touched on before. But I sort of heard that kicking usually is his good strength, so maybe an off day. But back to Xavier Lindsay, yeah, his kicking down the line was terrific, and he was switching up the angles in defensive 50. Yeah, he did play a bit more of a defensive role, so that was interesting to see, but he seemed to slot into that role really seamlessly, and he was good under pressure, just was clean with it, maybe made one or two mistakes as the game went on, but so did a lot of players. It was a very, I mean, not that I was there, but it was very, looked very warm, and I mean, you can imagine these boys have had about 20, 25 games of football under their belt at this time of year. So it was after half time, it was a bit of a scrap, but he was terrific. I thought he just got into the game early and was composed, used the footy well and moved it well in transition and just, you know, switched the angles.
Yeah, interesting, because we do know that he finished the season in the midfield and showed really good form there, and then missed a little bit of footy just with the hip flexor injury, and then went back to, I guess, his more native, it sounds like, sort of half-back wing position, where he was able to, like you say, change the lines and offer something a little bit different. So it's good to see that he was able to continue that form in a different position. Who were some others that dealt with the conditions? Like you say, warm, it would have been swirly at the G as well. Who were some others that dealt with the pressure of playing on the big stage? I know Archer Day Wicks is one I've really enjoyed watching. He's a Sandhurst product out of the Bendigo Pioneers.
Yeah, for sure. Day Wicks was one that I thought did all the right things, and it was just a polish that let him down. And I wrote in a match report that's on the House of Footy website, he's got all the attributes there. Like, it's, there's no doubt. When we saw that during the season as well, he was in the Vic Country squad as a bottom major. He's got all the attributes. It's just that next polish. He was taking some good contested marks early, but let himself down with that second touch, whether it was a kick or handball. It was just, you know, like it makes the first touch look lesser, and he played on and missed a pretty easy shot early on, which, you know, it doesn't look great, but I mean, he's doing all the right things, and come next year, I think you have the summer to work on that. It'll be all for the better.
And a couple of other Bendigo boys who got a run in this game. His Sandhurst teammate, actually, Toby Trevallia, whose rise this year has probably mirrored that of Archer Day Wicks, got a run. And also Joe Shanahan, there's plenty of excitement about him. How did those two boys go?
Yeah, well, Toby Trevallia is one I have in the category of an exciting end, because he showed it in his first half. His rebounding ability was really, really good. Just brought it outside of the 50 and brought that run and carry, which we've seen him do at Bendigo. And that was, I mean, he was doing that towards the end of the season so well. His long kicking was a bit off at times, but it was just the idea and his running in general that was on point, and he was providing that burst and carry, which he usually does. A bit quieter for Job Shanahan. I just couldn't really get himself into it as much as probably some of the other key forwards. He did kick a goal in the second half, but look, a bit of a quieter game, but I feel like we got more of a glimpse from him in that Vic New South Wales game, you know, about a month earlier.
Yeah, and he's one who represents the Allies next season. He's from just north of the border, so he'll certainly get plenty of opportunities to shine for them up forward. There's obviously a slew of names, so we'll rush through them. Obviously, we like to talk about players who are under the radar, but it would be remiss of us not to touch on the likes of Levi Ashcroft, Christian Moraes, who's really put himself in that top category now. Finno Sullivan is there as well, alongside Oakley Chargers teammate Jagger Smith. Those sort of players that you expect really high output games from, how were they able to cope on the warm day?
Well, I think Levi Ashcroft was my personal best on ground watching that. It's that versatility where you can put him on a wing, you can put him on ball, and he'll use it so cleanly. He moves the ball with those offensive chains, but then he'll go forward and kick a goal when you need him to. And look, I'll say it on the record, he is better than his brother, and I feel like it will come true in a couple of years. Yeah. And that's more because of the versatility. I mean, Will's fantastic, but Levi's just got that forward craft and it's not even forward craft. It's just going forward and being this real energetic movement. And he has this, you know, he kicks a Levi Ashcroft goal every time, which is from 40 metres sort of on the curve. And
yeah.
He knows how to do it so well. And, yeah, like you touched on with Jagger and Christian Moraes, they're just so silky. Their ball movement by hand was just superb. Jagger was going in and out of contests like he always does, that sort of spin move. And Moraes was just quick. He was moving forward, kept the ball moving a lot, and he was just terrific to watch. And Finno Sullivan, I mean, I feel like I missed a lot of his game, but he was just doing those little things that you don't notice, that work rate, moving the ball forward, took a few good contested marks, like just unusual contested marks for his standard. And yeah, they were elite. And then Isaac Kacko was one that I thought was just a typical performance as well, in that category where turned it on early with a nice dribble goal deep in the pocket, and it was just, you know, hyper-real type stuff. Good to see him come back as well. We haven't seen him, you know, 2 months or so since he, I don't know what the injury was, but one of the CLs, you know.
Yeah, LCL, lateral collateral ligament damage. So Levi Ashcroft, best on ground from your point of view, and certainly up there from a lot of people's point of views, I think is something that would hearten Brisbane fans on what was obviously a difficult day, a traumatic day, the way the game ended up ending. But Sam Marshall, another one from the Brisbane Lions Academy that they'll have priority access to next season, potentially. How did he perform?
Yeah, he was really good, and that's, you know, the second time I've seen him, and we saw him the first time at the Vic Country played Queensland in the game that was the lead up to this. And he was fantastic. He just brings a real toughness around the contest, but he's also very agile and can move around the footy well and breaks out from the contest. He did, especially inside 50, I thought his vision, you were under pressure to find a kick across the ground and set up a goal assist or at least a scoring shot assist, was really good, and kicked a really nice goal on the run from 50 late in the contest. But just a nice building performance, and I'm excited to see him play for Sandy next year. I mean, that's just a great addition to have in your team, and he'll keep building on what was a really good end to his season.
Yeah, and just to clarify, so he'll start the season with the Brisbane Lions Academy as he did this year, and will be probably their lead midfielder, I would have thought. Then we'll have to work a lot harder, I think, in the Sandy midfield, who will have the likes of Tash Houghton and Murphy Reid rolling through there after school footy. He'll play school footy for Melbourne Grammar in between as well, and so there'll be plenty on his plate. He'll also be right amongst it for the Allies next season, we'd expect. Were there any others who showed flashes of brilliance throughout the day?
The last one I want to talk about, Harry O'Farrell, Calder Cannons prospect. I thought down back he was one that just did all the right things and didn't get his hands on the footy too often, but it was winning his one-on-one contest, those contested battles he was winning. And when the ball went to ground, he just had a good turn of speed that could to push away his opponent and move the ball outside of the defensive 50. A few good desperation moments back, you know, in the back line in that heat, which, you know, would have played a big role, a big factor as the game went on. And I just thought his positioning as well was just really good. I don't remember him losing a contest in that defensive 50, and really liked his game. Just a nice way to finish your season against, you know, some of the best forwards in the country. So he'll bring that into Talent League form.
Not surprised to see him, it sounds like, really seize his moment and actually stand up to the responsibility that was given to him. We look back to his school form and there's a game for St. Kevin's that I think a lot of people have spoken about as being the game where a lot of people found out what he's made of. He took a big contested mark inside 50 late in the game. For St. Kevin's, his team was down by less than a goal, didn't even look inside 50, wanted to own the moment and was able to slot the goal. And then moments later, took a Leo Barry-style mark in defensive 50 when the opposition was surging forward and the St. Kevin's was able to hold on. It was a really special win for the school. We know how excellent the culture can be at school footy, particularly in the APS competition. So no surprise to see him being able to again stand up on the big stage. Ricky Mentha and Zach Johnson are a couple that certainly in the back end of the season in particular, you've spoken a lot about what they're able to provide. Ricky Mentha is that live wire forward and Zach Johnson is the player that gets his hands on it a lot. And we saw him play a match for Vic Metro. What were they able to do in this game?
Yeah, Ricky Mentha just is his usual fun, exciting forward craft that he was. I mean, he kicked a terrific goal, I think, in the first quarter, just from one of those tight angles that I was praying he would kick it, because it's just one of those goals that you'd love to, you know, you love to watch back. And he was just terrific. Brings that flair, brings the energy around the contest, especially when the ball goes to ground. And it was just good to see him get that opportunity, because I think he'll really, I mean, next year, I'm not sure if he'll play for the NT next year again.
Yeah, he plays for the NT in the first month of the season,
which is disappointing in all honesty, because we know typically what the NT do when they play the Vic team. So I'm not sure if that's a great thing, but when he came to Gippsland, he was terrific and brought that. So I'm excited to see what he does next year. He's been one of my favourites at the back end of this year. And then Zach Johnson, I was really pleased to see build into the game, because there was a chance he kind of just didn't really get himself into it. He was struggling a little bit. He didn't play the first quarter, which I don't think helped for his sake, because I guess, you know, you're kind of warming up on the sidelines and you're not as fresh as the other. Well, you're not as into it as the others, but he built him really nicely. And come the third and fourth quarter, getting his hands on the footy, providing some run through the corridor, which was really nice to see, and kicked a really good goal late on the run off some good work from Tom Gross, who was really fantastic as well to mention. He kicked two goals in a row in the first quarter and was playing much more of a forward role that we've seen a little bit of, but I think his time in the forward was very productive, and then did go into the midfield late and set up that goal for Zach Johnson in the end.
Yeah, and you touch on Tom Gross, how strong Oakley are going to be next year, having Tom Gross, Finno Sullivan and Jagger Smith. And there's also plenty of others as well. We put together a story of more than 50 of the top Vic and Tasmanian-based Talent League prospects to watch out for that will be on AFL Draft Radars in 2024. So yeah, you look at the likes of Pat Reshko, you look at Charlie Richardson. So Pat Reshko is one that shows some really promising back end of season form for the Chargers. Charlie Richardson's that true sort of centre-half forward who's able to get up the ground and work back. Cooper Hines played for Vic Country this season, wasn't quite able to make this game, but he showed plenty as well. Noah Scott's one that you've really liked watching. I think he knows instinctively how to put himself in dangerous positions. And you could keep going. Ollie Topoli, Q-Bank finished the season really strongly. Xavier Izovich for the Geelong Falcons, probably their lead prospect for next season. Lockie Charleston's brother, Harry Charleston, rather, has the turn of speed off halfback. You can keep going forever, but certainly is one to check out on the House of Footy website if you haven't already. And yeah, that profiles most of the players that played on Saturday, as well as some others that will be on the precipice of Vic Country, Vic Metro and Allies duties. But was there anything else from the Saturday game to touch on from your perspective, Nathan?
Oh, look, a couple, just briefly mentioning some names that I thought had some glimpses but hope to see more from. Josh Murphy, Murray Bush Rangers prospect. He kicked two really nice goals late to put the game within reach, but he had a bit of a quieter game. Jonty Four had some moments. He got the ball in his hands, but, you know, he did get two goals, but they were sort of out the back and got himself in the right spot, but then it went a bit quiet. So it doesn't sound like a bad game, but maybe personally I was hoping to see him have a bigger game because he's had such a good end to the season. And then Harvey Langford, I thought had some good moments through the midfield, but I think struggled to work himself into it purely just because of the talent in that midfield generally running through it. It was a bit hard for him to work himself into it. But those are those hope to see more from players, but we'll get a lot out of them next year. And to finish on your point, that piece is linked in the bio of this video. And if you're on Spotify listening to this, head to our Instagram page and go to the bio, click the link, and it will be the top article there if you want to read the piece Jonty was mentioning before. But now we'll move on to the draft combine. We've got a couple boys and two girls that were added to the combine list. And yep. Jonty, you're going to run me through these players, but we'll start with Liam Walters, Oakley Chargers prospect, St. Kev's boy. Tell me a bit more about him. He got added recently.
Yeah, so we had 9 players added late last week to the combine, which is really positive for those boys, and certainly shows that they're around draft contention. 4 of those are talent league prospects, so we'll touch on those. And yeah, start with Liam Walters. I think he's one who he reads the game really well. So he's a defender from the Oakley Chargers, and I think they've had a couple of defenders that have flown under the radar a little bit this season. So Lucas Tovey's emergence has really pleased a lot of people within the Chargers, but also, Jet Hartman's been pretty good for them. He's shut down some good forwards, and Liam Walters got some really important jobs as well. So he wins his one-on-ones really consistently, and his decision-making is also really good, distributes it well coming out of the back half. So no surprise to see him get some recognition. And to be honest, I'm surprised his name hasn't been spoken about more. I have been pretty impressed when I've watched him, but probably haven't noted him as much just based on not hearing as much external talk. So yeah, maybe for myself, should back myself more there and bring him up. But a very well-deserved selection for Liam Walters.
And then a player who's just won a premiership with Sandy Kalshadir, who we've sort of said all year, he gets his hands on the footy. He knows how to take a good contested mark, but it was his kicking that was sort of letting him down towards the back end. But then his grand final performance is one of the best, you know, grand final performances on the day in terms of he went to the ruck as well and made an impact. And Kalshadir, tell me a bit why, you know, why does he deserve to be here and what's he going to bring on combine day?
Yeah, I think what he'll bring is we'll be really interested to see what he does in the vertical leap. I think that sort of showed in the ruck. He's only 197, 198. He's going up against kids that are taller than him at talent league level, and certainly wouldn't play that position, you wouldn't have thought, unless he used to grow a little bit more at AFL level. But he does have that athleticism which enables him to leap and jump over the top of some opponents, but then also has that mobility because of how he is built to then follow up and won a couple of really critical centre clearances for Sandy, got it going forward. And yeah, like you say, he's able to hold his ground and take contested mark. You can see when he's going to fill out, he's one who looks like he will be able to stand up to that physical contact even better and really, really embrace those contested moments inside 50 and win a lot of his own ball, command a bit more of his own ball. But certainly at the moment on a lead, it looks like his hands are really strong. And yeah, if his finishing polish could just be a little bit better in terms of set shot goal kicking accuracy, then I think the external talk from the casual viewer would be a lot higher than what perhaps it currently is for the Hawthorn father-son prospect.
Pat Hughes won the Morrish medal. I mean, he had a really good season in general. I think it was just a matter of, was he above some of the other midfielders, contested midfielders in the talent league? And he was probably just sitting right under it, but he was always there in that conversation. But, you know, he deserved it, especially that last game. The prelim final against Sandy, had a really good one there, and yeah, deserves to get added to that list.
Yeah, I think the question marks over him was whether he was too slow, too unpaced a little bit, because he is, like you say, that inside midfielder, and he does have that contested ability. But then when he gets on the outside, does he have the pace to accelerate away from opponents and power his way forward? But certainly just with what he does in the clinches, I think he offers something really valuable for any team that he plays in. And also he showed in the second third of the season, I suppose, that he's able to go forward. He's reasonable overhead, provides a bit of zest inside 50. So was able to hit the scoreboard there as well. So I think he's one that's really important and is able to, like you say, release his teammates and win clearances for his team. So yeah, the co-winner of the Morrish medal with Colby McKercher.
And then the last boy to talk about, and one that you've been sort of briefly mentioning throughout the years, Lockie McArthur. Tell me a bit more about why he's been added and that back end of the season he's had for the Jets.
Yeah, so he has been added, I think, off the back of what he's been able, or the momentum he's been able to build off the back of his really strong school footy. So he was averaging four to five goals a game playing for Essendon Grammar at school level, and he's been probably showed a little bit more of his form down back for the Western Jets, but it's just his run and jump at the ball as that sort of third tool that he was able to do at school level then translate back to talent league level. So he did it against Sandringham, where he took five or six intercept marks and really took a lot of people by surprise to some extent. They had seen what he was able to do. They'd seen it in glimpses. He was finally able to put it together for a full game, then was able to do it a little bit more. I think he would have benefited a lot had the Jets had a deeper run in finals. Unfortunately, that wasn't to be, but he did still show enough glimpses between a couple of pracky games that Western played at school level, and then, yeah, in defence for the Jets as that sort of intercepting player to show that he's got enough liveliness, enough sort of speed, and reads the ball well enough to take some marks overhead to deserve that invite. Will be another one who I'll be interested to see how his vertical leap goes and his 20-metre sprint, probably the two tests in particular where I think he can shine.
Well, the boys' combine is over this next weekend, and we're hoping by the time we record next week, we do have some results to chat about and dissect, but we're not too sure when those results will be released for the combine. But two girls that have been added, and great to see these two girls have been added off the back of really strong national championships. The first one, Lily Jordan from the Rebels. I mean, she just brought that real ferocity to the champs and was really clean with her ball in hand and brought that form to back to the Rebels in the at the end of the season. And unfortunately, they got done in the first week of finals to a strong Dandenong team, but they had some good performances at the end of the season, and she was one of their star players from pretty much the middle of the year onwards.
Yeah, she was. I think it's her work rate that really stands out for her. So that's what she was able to show at Vic Country level. And then, yeah, like you say, translated back and probably gained a lot of confidence from what she did at Vic Country level. And, yeah, I know people internally at the Rebels are really happy with what she was able to produce in the second half of the season. I think you've summed it up pretty well.
And then Jo Sunderland, the Geelong Falcon, terrific out of full back, really, and her exiting was really good. Just finds the kick so nicely and provides that real polish out of defensive 50 that we didn't see too often throughout the year, really. Like, that was, we noticed her straight away, especially in those championships. She just stood out and did her job to perfection in the end.
Yeah, I think she's one who really grew with the championships, and was one that there was probably some question marks going into the championships. And like you say, you talk about her polish coming out of the back half, but also probably her creativity and her desire to slice through. She didn't just want to take the easy kick or the obvious option. She was always looking inboard, looking to create some counter-attacking play for Vic Country, which is really important. Obviously, they won the last game, and she was an important ingredient throughout the championships. She was able to shut her direct opponent down as well. So very good aerially, accountable defensively, and distributes creatively coming out of the back half. Like, I think it's a perfect cocktail what you want from a defender.
And that pretty much wraps it up for this episode. Ended up doing 20 minutes, so we did actually talk a bit longer than I think we both expected, but thank you all for watching. Next week, we're going to get stuck into our season reviews for the girls, and then the week after, we'll go through the boys. So we're going to go through each club and pretty much just touch on the key players that had their moments throughout the season, and more so touch on the players in the club itself, because obviously we know the team was changing for everyone throughout the year. So we're just going to go through that, dissect it. So if you want to hear a good analysis of what the year of 2023 was, make sure you tune in next week and the week after for the girls and the boys. Follow us on socials for more draft content, and that's going to start ramping up pretty heavily now until November for the boys and December for the girls. We're not sure on a date for the girls yet, but November 20 is when the boys draft will happen. So make sure to follow us there, Craft the Draft. Thank you all for watching, and we'll see you next week.